In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews?" Now Herod thought he was the only king of the Jews. "For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah, was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem. For it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time that the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Blessings, Randy.
Let's begin with prayer. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Here we are to worship you. Lord God, through your Holy Spirit, speak through this beautiful story of the Magi coming to worship the King, you, Jesus. May we learn together and figure out together how to more faithfully follow you and worship you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's great to be gathered here. I wanted to say this last week. It's really awesome to have families back over this time. And college students who are here, family members, it's just, we want to celebrate that you are choosing to come back here over the Christmas holidays, because you wouldn't have to do that, and you're choosing to be here. And I don't want to take that for granted, that we have families and students coming back over this time and worshiping together. It's also just really exciting to have worship leaders like Wes and Janelle leading this morning. That was awesome worship, and I want to celebrate that too, that the way that God is at work in our congregation. I got a postcard in the mail from Virginia Mennonite Missions. I got a Christmas blessing. We get this, the church gets this from many different places, Christmas cards. And the one that Virginia Mennonite Missions sent to us, it says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." John 1:5. Wishing you a Merry Christmas as we celebrate the light of Christ coming among us. That's my sermon in a nutshell right there. So thank you, Aaron Kaufman from Virginia Mennonite Missions. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I've been thinking a lot about light this week with this text, this beautiful text out of Matthew. I've been thinking a lot about light. Now, some of us, definitely myself, have been acutely aware of the lack of light in the evenings in the winter. If you're anything like me, you are starting to miss the sun a little bit in the evenings. December 21 was the winter solstice, the shortest day and the longest night of the year here in Earth's northern hemisphere. Each day after, the sun will be up for a few seconds longer each day. Indeed, in the 8 days since the 21st now, or 9 days, 10 days, we've been getting like a few extra seconds of daylight each evening. Are you guys celebrating that? So thinking about light, or should I say the lack of light at times, reminded me of the solar eclipse that we experienced here on August 21st. Maybe once in a lifetime kind of event for some of for us. This is a type of eclipse that occurs when the moon passes between the sun and the earth, and when the moon fully blocks the sun. And I have a few pictures here. I don't know if any of you were out. That's me with my special glasses that a doctor at LGH gave to me, that I could watch the eclipse. And I went Facebook stalking, and I also found that picture of Donna's children watching the eclipse. I think it's awesome to see children out here marveling at the incredible thing of an eclipse. Thank you. Watching this eclipse just makes me so aware of the incredible, miraculous Creator God that we serve. And this sun is just absolutely mind-boggling. The sun, a star. The sun is, we read in Genesis 1, God created light. And God said that the light, the sun, the star, was very good. The sun, this star, the sun is an incredible, mind-boggling mass of energy that God created. The sun lies at the heart of the Earth's solar system, where it is by far the largest object. It holds 99.8% of the solar system's mass and is roughly 109 times the diameter of the Earth. In other words, this is kind of what the way I need to understand it, about 1 million Earths could fit inside the sun. 1 million Earths could fit inside the sun. But if you thought that was mind-boggling, hear this. This sun that our God that we worship created is one of more than 100 billion stars in the Milky Way. Okay, so let's understand this. The sun in our solar system, about 1 million Earths could fit inside that. And then the sun is one of more than 100 billion stars in the Milky Way. We serve a big God. We depend on light a lot. In the building renovations and the building committee here that was thinking about how we change our space here a little bit, and that's very welcoming, you guys were thinking about light. You guys were thinking about the colors of the curtains and how that invites the light to come in. We think about it because it affects our worship experience when light shines in. Light illumines the way. Light draws us. It directs us. It fills us. It guides us. It's not just about physically being able to see something, but there's something about light that fills us emotionally, mentally, and spiritually as well. Light is hugely important to every part of our well-being. The text today is all about light and guiding the way. The story of the three magi is one of the central narratives in the church's celebration of Jesus' advent. It has come to symbolize for us important elements of who we proclaim Jesus to be and what it means to follow Jesus. These magi are Gentiles from distant lands, yet they recognize the importance of this child and who this child will become. And the story introduces recipients of Matthew's gospel to the profession that this child, Jesus, is to be Savior and Lord for not just the Israelites, but Gentiles alike. It's very significant, friends, that the three Magi are not Jews. Why is that so significant? Because it symbolizes in a very profound way that this child, Jesus, will not just be the Savior for the Jews and the Israelites, but for the Gentiles as well. And no better way to slam that point home than to have three Gentile Magi from distant lands come to worship this Jesus. From what we can piece together from surviving historical evidence, it appears that the Magi were astrologers and interpreters, especially in Eastern cultures that had been influenced by Persian customs. They were not kings themselves, but some of them served in the courts of kings, functioning as advisors. Of course, if you would ask somebody else preaching this sermon, they might say that they were kings. All that to be said, it's a little bit fuzzy. There's a lot of interpretation and historical ambiguity when it comes to the three Magi. And as Chris very rightly said, there easily could have been women as well. Who's to say that women didn't come to give gifts too? Even with the guidance of the bright and luminous star, the Magi get lost. Sounds familiar. Getting lost even when there's a bright light to guide the way. So they stop off in Jerusalem and they ask for directions. Eventually, King Herod gets wind of this and secretly summons the Magi. And he sends them off to Bethlehem saying, "Go ahead, find the Christ child, and then come back and let me know where he lives so that I too can go and worship him." But the Magi are oblivious to Herod's ulterior motives and to the fact that he has just gained information from them that puts Jesus at great risk. So the Magi head off to Bethlehem, and we read that the star leads them to the place where Jesus lives. I'm struck by a lot of different things in this text, and we could have 10 different sermons in this text about the lordship of Jesus Christ and how the power and the kingship of Herod and the political power is threatened by the lordship of Jesus Christ. There's so many different directions you could go with this sermon. And I would invite you to this week to really dig into it and stay in it a little bit. But the thing that I'm really struck by is the significance of light for Matthew, the author of this text. I'm struck by the significance of light and that it's a light that guides the way to find the King, Jesus. This idea of light as a guide is found all over scriptures. Obviously this text is a great example of how the light is a guide. But in the Old Testament, light is very important as well. We read about how Israel, the people of God, the Israelites, in the book of Isaiah, it says in Isaiah 49 verse 6, how Isaiah, that the nations will be drawn near and far through the light of Israel. And it says in Isaiah 49:6, "The Lord said to me, 'I have a greater task for you, my servant. Not only will you restore to greatness the people of Israel who have survived, but I will also make you a light to the nations so that all the world may be saved.'" This idea that the way that God wanted the Israelites to live in a way that acknowledged Yahweh, that looked out for the refugee, the poor, the alien, the homeless, the way that they lived, that Israel lived, that people would be attracted and drawn to that, and they would see something there that pointed to Yahweh, a light to the nations so that all the world may be saved. And then we read in John 1:4, Jesus is this light. In him was life, the same postcard here. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And so this light that we read about in the prophet Isaiah is a direct prophecy that is being fulfilled in John 1:4. Jesus is the light of the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And then in verses like John 8, chapter 8, verse 12, the very words of Jesus, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus himself now is owning this call from God to be God the Father, to be the light of the world. And there's an invitation here that whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And it doesn't stop there, friends. Followers of Jesus are called to be light, lifted high to show others the way. The same way that Israel in the book of Isaiah is called to be a light. Now we read in the New Testament in Matthew 5:14 that followers of Jesus, the body of Christ, are called to be light lifted high. It says in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. In today's modern parable, it might sound a little bit like this. It was really dark at night. I needed to get something downstairs and walk down the dark steps. I had a flashlight, but I decided not to turn it on because it would be easier just to do it in the dark. Said no one ever. What we're saying here in Matthew is if you have a light and you light a lamp, why would you put it under the bushel basket? No, you put it on the lampstand and it would give light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Light in these verses throughout Scripture, Old Testament and New, is both consistently attractive and illuminating. People are drawn to it and it goes outward. It's not meant to be kept to oneself. It's meant to be declared. That's what the three magi are doing here. They aren't keeping this story to themselves, but they're going and they're declaring it. They're declaring that in this child, the vulnerable Jesus, there is also a king. The paradox, the tension to live with. A vulnerable poor child, and yet a king. Last Sunday we sang Joy to the World, and Steve led us in an incredible hymns, and we had all of these beautiful, amazing musicians. And I love that song, Joy to the World, at the end. Joy to the World, the Lord has come. And we declared, with Steve leading us, the wonders of God's love. And wonders of God's love. We basically declared the reason we celebrate Christmas is not about gifts and materialism and Christmas trees, although there's nothing wrong with any of those things. It's not about eating a salty ham that increases fluid in our bodies and sends people to the hospital. I see that a lot as a chaplain. The emissions just skyrocket after Christmas because people eat too much ham. But we declared in Joy to the World that the reason we celebrate Christmas is that God loves us so much that he sent Jesus into the world to be our Savior and our Lord. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his son Jesus into the world so that we may have life. We declare through our singing this morning, through our singing last week, through our prayers, through our offerings, through our fellowship and our service, we declare that God the Father makes the way through Jesus. We declare that Jesus is the way. In fact, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We declare that the Holy Spirit empowers the way. And we declare that we are followers of the way. This morning, the theme is, how do we declare to others the way? How do we say to others, hey, we think this way that we're living, following Jesus, is worthwhile knowing about? We think it can actually change your entire life and bring you the most fullest, fulfilling, serving life you can imagine. We're figuring out this way here at Whitmer Heights. I don't pretend to have all the answers. My friend over here doesn't either. But we believe when we come together and we worship together and we talk together and we serve together and we love one another together and we eat together and we get into each other's homes, that we somehow figure out the way better than trying to do it alone. We do this over community night, in singing, in welcoming new people into our fellowship. We are figuring out this way that God has made for us through Christ. And this morning, just as the Magi went to the King, Jesus, to celebrate the King and declare the kingship, we're also called this morning to declare the kingship of Jesus, both in our words and our praise and our act, but also in our actions, in how we serve, and how we live. You want to know the way? You want to know the light? Look to Jesus. Jesus is the center of our faith. He is our way. And a good place to do that is to read the Gospels. Can I show you where they are? As we declare the way, we do it with joy. And I want to come right back to the Matthew 2 text here to end with. Matthew 2, verse 9. When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy, it says. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. They found Jesus in the most unexpected, vulnerable child. And they called that child a king. They found Jesus showing up in the most unexpected place, in the most unexpected person, in the most unexpected town. And they called him a king. And they had joy doing it. Followers of Jesus, we're called to have joy on the way as we declare this King this morning. And so let us join in the joy and the celebration as we look back to all the things that happened in 2017. Neil sent out an email from the elders, kind of just celebrating all the things that happened in 2017. And then also looking forward to 2018. We declare with joy into 2018. We want to be followers of Jesus together in community, figuring out how to follow Jesus and make our community and the world a better place. Yes, let it be declared. Let's declare it with joy. A light has come, a star to light the way. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, your creation, we marvel. We marvel at the winter solstice, the shortest day and the longest night of the year. We marvel and we celebrate. We celebrate that each day now will be a little bit longer and brighter now. even as the winter around us settles into the chill. Lord, we celebrate that Jesus came into the world to be the light. You are the light of the world. The darkness cannot overwhelm you. As we celebrate you, the light of the world, and as you call us to be the light, we pray that you would continue to show us the way into 2018. Thank you, Lord, that in a vulnerable child, you are also the King, Jesus the Christ. May we live into your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.